It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
It's Livin' the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
This week on Livin' the Bream, you know him and you love him, and you're going to learn more about him today. He is one of our superstars. He's been a superstar and served this country in so many different ways, but currently he is host of the Fox Business show Kudlow, the Larry Kudlow, with us on Livin' the Bream this week. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you, Shannon. Pleasure.
Listen, you really do have a resume like no one else. What's your favorite thing you've done?
I've survived.
Getting through Washington. Listen, that's a victory right there.
I'm still kicking. I don't know. I've done a lot of wonderful things. Life has been a great blessing for me. It's hard. Look, I'm so happy to be at Fox, and our show has done well. And I have a chance to not only work with all the Fox business people, but the Fox News people. And it's been great, you know. I love working in the Trump White House. I love working in the, shall we say, another network for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I love working for Ronald Reagan. I love working on Wall Street. I'm glad I'm still around.
Well, we are too, for many, many reasons. And I want to talk about your life. But first, if you'll let me pick your brain a little bit on the news of the day, because it is nice to have an economic expert with us. You've seen a lot. You've seen a lot of cycles in this country. What do you make of where we are with the highest inflation in 40 years, far outpacing wage growth? The job market is very strange. The numbers don't make sense to me. What's your take?
Well, I think the biggest issue right now is the high inflation, as you pointed out. It's a four-decade high. And I think that threatens the economy. And you see it in the stock market, and you see it in slumping consumer confidence. You see it in slumping small business confidence. And I think that it's going to be a rough patch here. It's not going to be easy to get inflation down. The key point you have to always keep in mind, unless you have low inflation, what's called price stability, you're not going to have a really healthy economy. And so the Fed let things get out of hand. They operated emergency policies long after the emergency was over, just as the Congress operated emergency spending policies long after the emergency was over. And of course, I think the other threat to the economy, besides inflation overall, is the energy picture. The energy picture is not good. We're still at double, over $100 a barrel, $5 a gallon, $5.50 for diesel fuel, hurting truck drivers. That hurts goods. That hurts supply chains. And unfortunately, President Biden is proud of it. I mean, he said yesterday in Japan that high gasoline prices are fine. We want to have this transition to a fossil-free economy and renewable fuels. And I'm here to tell you that if these policies, and they're very extreme policies in my judgment, if these anti-fossil policies continue, we are going to have a recession that's going to last a long time. We can't operate, Chad, without fossil fuels. We cannot operate without fossil fuels. And all these woke climate change people are just wrong. There's no alternative. We can have all the above. Don't get me wrong. We could have some wind turbine. We could have some solar. We should have some nuclear, which is very important. And the greenies don't like nuclear. That's too bad. But you're going to have natural gas. You're going to have oil. And we have a clean environment. That's the part I've never understood. All this scare talk about existential threats on climate. I don't understand. We have the lowest carbon emissions of any of the big countries. And our technology and innovation is making air and water cleaner all the time. It's making fossil fuels cleaner through carbon capture and storage and things like that. So I don't understand it. And I think if Biden gets his way, he's going to do great harm to the economy in the long run. But on the other hand, having said all that, I'm an optimist. Shannon, the cavalry's coming. The cavalry is coming, and we're going to see some changes.
Okay, so let me unpack a couple things there. Because this administration says we inherited a mountain of trouble. We're coming off COVID, which, you know, it shook up this global economy in a way that nothing but a worldwide pandemic could do. Putin started, you know, trying to take over Ukraine, that there have been all kinds of, you know, they've fought back against the deficit, which grew under Trump. They say they're making progress.
Well, I know they say a lot of things. Look, this inflation started way before Putin entered Ukraine. That's very important. Gasoline prices were just over $2. The inflation rate was under 2%. And the Putin story starts about 14 months after he's in office. So I'm afraid I have to disagree. Look, we had a V-shaped recovery going post-COVID into 21. And Biden will never acknowledge that. And I'm sorry for that. Just like he never acknowledged Operation Warp Speed had already put 1 million vaccinations.
Including his arm.
Including his arm and his wife's arm. You're exactly right. So he was handed a good economy with very low inflation. And the federal spending and money and the assault again. I mean, those were the main contributors to the inflation. I think he's bungled it myself. I hate to say that, but I think he's bungled it very badly. And I think it's not going to be easy to correct that bungling.
So how do we undo it? In layman's terms, listen, I took my economics classes that I had to take in college. I might have done a crossword puzzle or two in there because I got so lost and I would wait till I got to my study group to figure everything out. But in layman's terms, what are things that any administration can reasonably we can expect them to do in a situation where we have 8.5% inflation? Because they'll say we're doing the best we can. What would be your advice if you were advising this administration?
Look, I think you have to tackle a couple things. Number one, you've got to unlock the spigots for oil and gas. Unlock the spigots. That's a good thing for the war in Ukraine, but it's mostly a good thing for people here at home. We're producing about 1.5 million barrels of oil per day, less than we produced pre-pandemic. And that's worth at least a buck on gasoline prices, probably a buck and a half. So unlock the spigots, okay? Loosen up on that. Secondly, stop the spending. Stop the spending. But the sooner they get it done, Shannon, here's a key point. The sooner they get it done, the better off we're going to be, you know, in the medium to longer term. OK, so you made mistakes. You can correct the mistakes. There'll be some hiccups in the economy and the stock market. We've already seen it. But you can get that done and then move on to prosperity after that.
What can the Federal Reserve do? What should they be allowed to do at this point?
Listen, the Fed has got to correct its earlier. The Fed has got to stop printing new money. That's the most basic way I can put it. Their balance sheet is way too large, $9 trillion. They're just going to have to stop. They're going to have to let some of it run down. That is going to cause, it's already caused some pain for interest rates. Interest rates will probably go up some more. The stock market has been very, very wobbly, but you got to let it do it. There's no way around that. And again, the sooner they do it, Shannon, the better off we're going to be.
Living the Bream continues in a moment.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Larry, thank you for letting me pick your brain on economic policy. I'm sure there is much more that we could discuss. And I learn a lot when I watch Kudlow because you explain it in a way that I can understand, which I appreciate. Let me ask you about your personal life, because you and I have chatted about faith. And I know at some point there was a turning point in your life, a big change and a decision about faith. Tell me what happened.
30 years ago, some odd. I went through a personal crisis. I was sort of hopelessly addicted to alcohol and drugs, cocaine. And my whole life fell apart. It's worst thing I've ever experienced. So I had to deal with that. My saintly wife, Judy, sent me away to a wonderful treatment center in northern Minnesota called Hazleton. And I spent about 5 or 6 months there. And that was great stuff. It was great therapy. I've been sober and clean now for 27 years. And during that period, sort of just before and just after, I was looking for some spiritual help and a return to faith. And I had a couple of Catholic priests who befriended me, one of them in particular. And they started getting me to Sunday Mass, which I liked. I kind of liked the rules. I liked the ceremony. I liked the incense. I liked the smoke. I liked the whole thing. And I also liked the meaning of the catechisms. And I was tutored for a while. I took my time, but several years later, I converted to Catholicism. I think that was 96 or 97. I don't remember exactly when. And I've been a church-going Catholic ever since. I'm pretty active in the church. I'm active here with Cardinal Dolan, and I'm active up in Connecticut where we have our weekend farm. And, you know, I think my return to faith was absolutely crucial to my life then and remains crucial to my life today. It keeps me grounded, and I try to stay on the right path. I try to stay on the right course, but I need God's help. That's one of the things I learned, Shannon. I need God's help, and I needed the help of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Me too. Every single day. I don't know how people make it through life without that comfort of someone much bigger in charge of the universe and willing to take the worst of us and give us the very best in return. I don't know where you'll get that deal anywhere else. But what a comfort, because life is very difficult and we're told that it will be. Scripture tells us, you know, the world's going to be a tough place, but, you know, Christ says, but don't worry because I've overcome. And I think when your perspective changes in that way, it changes the way that you live life and interact with other people and view your job and your circumstances and everything else. I mean, is that the thing that is the most grounding and important in your life?
Well, I sort of look at it in a straightforward way. Somebody's got to help me get through each day. Somebody's got to help me to do the right thing. I think I proved in the past that I'm not very good at it alone. So,
like most of us,
you know, I kind of struck out on that. And my batting average improves considerably since I started following Christ as best I can. Also, look, I'm very active in the 12-step program regarding alcohol and addictions. That's been a great help to me. And I've learned to ask, you know, other people, sober people, for advice, for decisions in my life. And it's worked out pretty well. You know, with a little bit of humor, I know I'm kind of a wise ass, but I got through 3 years in the White House. Drug-free, alcohol-free, and subpoena-free. So it worked out pretty well.
Listen, that's a record right there. If you can come out with those three things, you're doing really well. I mean, a lot of people don't come out of various administrations and trying to weed their way through the swamp and the, you know, just vicious place that Washington can be. It can test you on all those fronts. I'm grateful that you are so open about your recovery process and about what you've struggled with. I think that's enormously inspiring and probably helpful to other people to say, look, he's very humble about the fact that he needs help and that there's nothing wrong at all with seeking that. It's the secret kind of to keeping going in your recovery. I have a couple people close to me who are really struggling right now. What would you say is the best advice for establishing a framework or some kind of accountability? Or, you know, as somebody on the outside, you don't want to push too much, but you love them and you want to provide every opportunity for them to get better and to encourage them without pushing them away?
Well, It's a tough one, Shannon. Look, if it's an alcohol problem or a drug problem, the person has to want to change. They have to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things, I've sponsored a lot of people, you know, in the last almost 30 years, 27 years. I've sponsored a lot of people. I'm still very active in that 12-step work. But if they are looking for help, you know, the single best advice I could give them is to go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual, 12-step spiritual-based program. Whether that leads to church, as it did in my case, or not, AA is non-denominational, but I think they'll hear some good things and they'll meet some others who have the same problem on a daily basis and who have worked to overcome the same demons on a daily basis. I mean, that's the best advice I could give. And if somebody wants to come with me to church on Sunday, I'm more than happy to take, really, more than happy to take.
I love that. And if you're in the Northeast up there, you can go with Larry. If you're here in the DC area, you can go with me. We'll take you. And I promise you'll feel better. If you can't just kind of lay your burdens down and listen to someone's wisdom and the music, all of it really kind of feeds my soul. I suspect you feel the same way every Sunday.
I do. I mean, you know, my worst days are better than what was like 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question in my mind. I made mistakes. I've done things, maybe not perfect, but it's all better. I mean, I just, as I said before, I needed some power greater than myself. And for me, it was God and Christ. But it's also been the 12-step program. And you have to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I'm having the time of my life right now with this, with working for Fox and our show and all these things. But I know that I have to stay grounded and sober if it's going to continue. And I want it to be that way.
Daily choices. Sometimes hourly choices.
And you know what else I like? If I do something or say something, one of the things that I've learned down through the years, Shannon, I like to go up to somebody and apologize, talk to them, say, well, gosh, I said something. I don't want you to misinterpret it or anything like that. Or I said something that I, you know, want to take back on a TV show, live TV. There's a few things I'd like to take back.
All of us. Yes.
I don't mind doing it when it's possible, when it works. That's one of the things I've learned down through the years. I'm not perfect, far from it. And I'm not always right. I'm not always right professionally. I know that, but just personally, I'm not afraid to go up to somebody, pull him or her aside, and, you know, kind of set the record straight. Mm-hmm. If you will.
Yeah. And I think it's that whole feeling of humility and gratitude that kind of puts us in that place that we can do that. Now, before I let you go, I have to ask you, what does Larry Kudlow do for fun? I mean, are you a secret like square dance champion, or what happens when we don't see you working?
Well, I do work a lot.
You do all the time.
I'm an old tennis player. Played prep school and college tennis, and I still play tennis.
Good exercise.
I love tennis. Somebody asked me an interview a while back, if I weren't doing what I'm doing, what would I like to do? And I said, I really wanted to win Wimbledon.
Yes. Listen, I like a man who dreams big.
I know, but
you're going to go for it.
It hasn't happened, Shannon, and it's not going to happen.
There's still time left.
No, it's pretty much over. I like to read a lot. I do like to play tennis. I like spending time in our place in Connecticut, relaxing. I like to read outside. And I like to spend time with my wife, who I call my saintly wife. I like to spend time with her. She's a wonderful lady. So
you guys,
nothing too exciting.
No, I love it. To me, the best weekend is when people say, what are you doing this weekend? And I say, absolutely nothing, because it almost never happens. So yeah. I'm really grateful. I'm grateful for quiet and book reading. And I'm not good at tennis, so I won't lie about that. I like the outfits, but my play does not match my outfits. So I'll come cheer for you and I'll look for you on center court, because I believe Larry Kudlow can basically do anything. Larry, thank you for spending time with us on Living the Bream. It is such a treat. We've been talking about doing it, and I'm so glad to have you.
Thanks, Shannon. Great pleasure. Take care.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.